You know, the scriptures are full of amazing stories of the love of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God. And friends, I want to encourage you this morning that wherever you're at, whatever your week's been, whether it's been amazing, whether it's been really challenging, whether it's been even worse than that, I want to encourage you this morning. So good is God that, friends, I want to tell you that somehow we've got caught up in this idea that it's warnings of hell that lead a man to come to a trembling fear of God. My Bible tells me that it's the kindness and it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. So friends, I want to encourage you this morning, let's consider the goodness and the kindness of our God. In fact, Ephesians 3 talks about how the love of God, we can't even plumb the depths, or search the heights, or the width to understand and experience the love of our God. Friends, I want to say this to you this morning. He loves you. He meets you where you're at. Humanity at its worst, 2,000 years ago, at its worst, murdered God. That's it, plain and simple. When Jesus was crucified, man at his utmost worst murdered God. And in the midst of that moment, God's response is one of the acts of the greatest acts of redemption ever known in the history of the world. Because at that moment, he said, we become the righteousness of Christ. We become the image. We have the mind of Christ. When we receive him, when we believe in him and we have faith in him, friends, it's simple. The scripture says that we have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling within us. And as Paul reminded in our time of prayer this morning, that he came that we may have life and life in abundance. That promise is for now, friends. God, we want to thank you this morning for your amazing goodness, for your kindness that knows no bounds. Lord God, as we reflect on your great love for us, as we reflect on your faithfulness towards us, where your scripture says that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Father, collectively, we just raise our hearts, our hands, and our eyes to you this morning, and we just say thank you, God. Thank you for a love that knows no bounds. And as we get to respond to you in love this morning, as your scripture says that we enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, our hearts are filled with thankfulness towards you, our great King, this morning. And it is our joy and our privilege to worship you. And in the midst of this place, you inhabit the praises of your people. God, our hearts are stirred. We're expectant this morning to see you have your way amongst us. Holy Spirit, thank you for your manifest presence amongst us this morning. God, we honor you and we worship your name. Let's worship our King. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God, But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified in His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Father, thank You for uninterrupted, reconciled, joyful friendship and relationship with the God of the universe. Thank You for the gift of Your Son, for redemption, for the gift of life, for the gift of, no matter the circumstance, a hope that does not disappoint. Paul said that he's resolved to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Father, I pray that it would be our response to You this morning, no matter our circumstance, to say, I resolve to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Lord God, we love You, we worship You, and we honor Your name this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Friends, God bless you. You may take your seats. We're going to be worshiping again a little more at the end.
Go for it.
Friends, let's just extend our hands over Paul here. Father, thank You for this man who has prepared his heart well for this morning, who has sought the leading of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank You that our hearts can be open to receive what it is that You would want to minister to us this morning. Thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the seeds that fall this morning may fall on fertile soil. We love You and we thank You for this opportunity to dig into Your Word this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, worship team. God is good, isn't He? Wow. I was having some fun on the internet, and you know, those of you that are avid Facebookers or YouTubers, sometimes you come across videos or things that are interesting and, yeah, kind of wow you. And I was taking a look the other day, and I found one particular video that was, man, it just caught me in a way that I wasn't expecting. And it was a story about a man who had a bit of a hard life, I would say. He was in a car accident and had crushed his foot. His foot ended up having some complications, got infected, and he ended up losing his foot and was on a disability and trying to live with his family on $800 a month. I don't know if any of you have tried to live with so little and support family, but that's not very much to do it. You would say he had a pretty rough go at life, and you know, he had this blanket. And if these guys, I don't know, we're going to see if they have a picture. I tried to get one for you guys. But I'm going to tell a story regardless, and you can go and Google it yourself and find the story. But he had this blanket that was passed down to him through generations in his family. And it was just an ordinary blanket. It had been hand-woven, and they figured it was an Indian blanket. And he really wasn't sure what it was, and it was sort of collecting dust at his house. And he was watching a show called Antique Roadshow. Any of you guys like to watch that? You've seen that before? I always find it interesting, the stuff they uncover and the crazy value that's attached to it. And he was watching it, and he saw a similar blanket. And the blanket got an appraisal value that was just astronomical. It was between $300,000 and $500,000. And he was looking at the blanket on the TV and looking at his blanket and sizing the two up and wondering, oh my gosh, what do I have here? And he thought, well, mine's probably different. Maybe it's worth a few thousand dollars. But he did some digging and he went to an appraiser, and they told him, well, you know, the blanket might be worth around $50,000. And he was just floored, hey? Like, wow, amazing. Well, they continued to test the fibers and see what the value was, and they tested the fibers and they came back and they told him that it could be valued around $150,000 to $200,000. And now, for a man that has nothing, very, very little, that's had a rough life, and here he's been sitting on a blanket that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, he's really wowed. But then they took it to an appraiser, they took it to an auction house, where they brought all of those that are interested in textiles to come and look at this piece of art, this blanket. And it was an old chief's Indian blanket, and quite valuable, and they auctioned it off. And as they're auctioning off the blanket, you watch his face, and you see it go from 200 to 300 to 400 to 1 million to 1,000,002 to 1,000,003 to 1,000,005. And he just breaks down. And here's this man that's been sitting on a blanket that's been struggling his whole life, and it has something of significant value, and he had no idea. And all of a sudden, the value was determined by what someone was willing to pay for it. And friends, I want to say that this morning, that value is determined by what someone's willing to pay for it. And this morning, you are valuable. Jesus paid the ultimate price for you and I. You are valuable, valuable enough that Jesus would do that. It says in John 15:13 in the Amplified, that no one has greater love, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, to give up his own life for his friends. Friends, you're not valuable, and your value is not determined based on what you can do, because as Mark mentioned earlier, there's also a scripture in Romans 5, and it says, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, when we were at our worst, Christ died for us. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it goes on to say that we were bought with a price. You see, friends, the way God sees us is sometimes different than the way we see ourselves. And we might see ourselves as an old blanket that's valueless and collecting dust. But I want to tell you this morning that you are valued and that you're not an old blanket. And you're valued so much that God would send his son Jesus for you. I spent some time digging through scripture and looking at some things of what the word has to say about us and who we are. And one of the things that I feel is that often if we feel a lack of value, it's because we actually don't understand who we are. And we are something, and we are something significant. You see, Jesus came and paid an ultimate price, but what for? You see, salvation wasn't just intended to solve our problems. It wasn't just to deal with the sin in our lives. Salvation had a much greater purpose in store. Jesus dying on the cross had a greater purpose than just the salvation of our souls. And I want to take some time and uncover this. You know, in John 10:10, it says Jesus came that you might have life and life to the full. And this is something for us now. It's for today. It's not something that's in the future. It's for you and I today. And this piece of value is actually to be outworked today, tomorrow, and forevermore and into eternity. I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Ephesians 1:17. We've spent a lot of time in Ephesians. And God has some incredible nuggets of truth here for us. We felt as an eldership team to pause and take a moment to make time for what God's saying in this particular passage. And I'm going to read it, and we're going to spend some time unpacking it. It says this in 1 Ephesians 1:17. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. There's one particular part in this passage that really stands out to me, and it actually helps me understand what Paul's trying to say here. And I've shared briefly on this before, and some of you have heard me talk talk about this. Some of you might have even been here on one of the messages that I had preached on this. And I want to encourage you, friends, that this is something that we can chew through. There is a lot of meat in this message. It says in the New Living Translation here, and it says that we're his holy people and that we are his rich and glorious inheritance. Friends, it says that we are his inheritance. It doesn't say that we have an inheritance, but that we are inheritance. And to help me wrap my head around inheritance, when I think of inheritance, I think of maybe money or precious metals or stones. In particular, I think of treasure. I think of something that's yet to be discovered the value of. If I think of treasure, I think of a precious stone even. And if you understand what a diamond is and how it works and functions, there's such truth in how it relates to what Paul's saying here. And I want to take a moment to unpack this so that you can see what I'm seeing. Because I believe that we are his treasure, that we are valued so much so that he would go and pursue us. So the questions that I start to ask is why? And friends, if you've never been told that you have value, I want you to hear it today. You have value. You are a treasure. Turn to the person beside you and tell them, you are a treasure. Friends, they are a treasure. You see, diamonds are like any other stone before they're cut. It's just a stone. It looks ordinary. But you see, a diamond cutter uncovers the beauty of a diamond by examining its uniqueness and cutting it in such a way to maximize its brilliance. Each stone is unique. Each one of us is unique. There's different shapes, different sizes, different colors, different cuts even. We are unique. And just as a diamond was created to reflect light, because that's why the stone is cut. It's to reflect light. And that is what makes it brilliant. That is what makes it beautiful. Friends, you and I are created to be beautiful. You and I are created to reflect light. We're created to reflect the splendor of our Creator. We are created to reflect the splendor of our God. There's a few things as we now step back and look at the scripture and start from that 17 again. There's a few things that I see that are important for you and I on this journey. I want to say that this morning that the journey starts with relationship with our Creator. All of our journeys have to start here, friends. And we never graduate from this. We start here and we continue on from here. Because it's through relationship that through our relationship with our Creator that we discover our identity and purpose. Because he is the stonecutter. He is the one that sees our uniqueness, and he is the one that cuts us and designs us and has created us in such a unique and special way. If we want to know how something was to function, we would go and find the designer and the creator. How many of you guys like to look at manuals when you try and build something complicated? All right, guys, we know you should. But you go to the one that designed it. If you want to know how something works, you go to the one that designed it because it knows the innermost workings of the design. And that is our creator. You are intelligent design. You are created uniquely. You see, salvation was intended to restore us back to right relationship with God so that we could get back to our original design and function the way that God created us to. Salvation wasn't so that Jesus could solve the sin in our life and then he would just be an add-on to our life. It was actually to restore us back to our original creation so that we could function the way that God intended for us to function. You see, in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make man in our own image." And we, friends, are created in the image of God. In Ephesians 1:4, it says that you were chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Friends, it's not an adding to our lives, it's getting back to what God had in store. Jesus even said that we would do greater works than he did. You see, our design is to reflect Christ. Our design is so that we would be Christ-like. That's what the word Christian means, is to be Christ-like or to be a little Christ. And in relationship, he reveals who he is to us. But not only that, who we are, because we were created to be like him. And the more we learn about God, the more we will learn about ourselves. But you see, the thing about relationship here, friends, is that it's not one and done. We don't come to Christ and receive salvation, the gracious gift that God gives us. We don't come there and stop there. It's a relationship that grows. So for us, this next piece is that our relationship should grow. If you have a significant other here today, if you never pursued relationship past the moment you met, do you think you'd still be together today? Maybe not. So now if you're married and you've married this significant other, do you stop pursuing relationship then? Not so. Not so. If I've learned one thing being a young married man, you don't stop pursuing your wife. You continually pursue. You know, it's exciting to pursue relationship with God. It says this in the Amplified, that verse 17 in Ephesians, it says this. He's praying for us. He prays that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. God has things to reveal to us, to you and I. And it's exciting. It's an adventure. You see, Paul prays that we would know him better in this scripture. And that word know is, it's actually, it's a very intimate word. It actually, if you really take the time to unpack it, that word know, it's like a man would know his wife. It's intimacy. It's as intimate as you could ever possibly get. And you might think that that's gross that I'm referencing it in scripture, but God wants us to know him so close that we feel his heartbeat, that we feel his breath, that we see the way that he loves us. It's a remarkable picture of relationship that God calls us to. He wants us to experience him through relationship. You see, he wants to reveal not only who he is, but he wants us to know his ways. He wants us to know the way that he is, the way that he leads, his character, so that we could reflect his very nature, that we could reflect the heart of God to others around us. It's not enough that we would just know of him. God doesn't want you to know of him. We are his children, and I've heard it said that God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. We can't live our relationship with God through someone else, whether it be your parents, your spiritual leaders. We must live our relationship with God one-on-one, intimate. Are you following me? So it's experience. You see, the scripture says here in Ephesians, he prays that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened to know the hope to which he has called you. That eyes of our understanding, that it would be enlightened, that as light would pour in, that understanding would come, that we would know his very ways, the hope to which he's called us, that we would actually experience firsthand as we reflect him. Because remember, we're created to reflect our Creator. So as we make space for an intimate relationship with God, his light, who he is, his character, his nature, to reflect into us, actually the image that reflects out is him. We are his hands. We are his feet. He loves us so that we would love others in the same way. that we would experience what he experiences. Are you following me? See, we reflect him, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But Christ is in us because we choose to let him in. We choose to let his light pour into us. And the more we spend time with him, the more we become like him. You know, I spent some time in Florida. I was away for a couple weeks. My wife and I went down there. And, you know, when you're out in the Florida heat and the sun's shining, there's really no escape. And when we're in the presence of that sun, we are impacted. We are changed. Some of us, like me, get fried and burnt. Some of you get nice, beautiful tans. But we can't help but be impacted in the presence of the sun. It's the same as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. We can't help but be impacted when we spend time with him and in his presence, because that is the nature of our God. And that is your design, friends. That is your design. That is the way you were created. We are being transformed into the likeness of God, and he actually has you and I on a journey of being more and more and more like him, that our reflection of Jesus would become so pure and so truthful and accurate that people would literally see Jesus when they see us. And it's like a diamond grader, friends, for us, for you and I. A diamond grader, when he's grading diamonds and stones, he has to look at a lot of stones. And you know, he has a flawless diamond that he looks at. So he looks at a few stones and he grades them, but then he goes back to his flawless diamond so that he doesn't lose perspective of perfection. And friends, you and I have a flawless one. It's Jesus. And we're on a journey of reflecting him better and better. And it's a good journey. It's an exciting journey. It's not about works, friends, but it's about God working in us that we could function in the way that we were designed and created to. We have a flawless one that we can go back to. It's Jesus. And the more we spend time with him, the more we see who he is and his character and his nature. And like a diamond, we can turn it, and there's a facet, and there's another facet, and there's another facet. And it's incredible when you get close to a diamond. If you really take the time and look at it under a microscope and you see the perfection of a flawless diamond, and it's really hard to even find one. But Jesus is our flawless one. But I want to say this morning, there's one thing that's so important that you and I hear in this message. That yes, we are treasures and that we are created to display the splendor of God. But friends, I want to say this morning that you're unique. And it's okay. We are unique. We reflect Jesus in different ways, in different facets of our life. Some of us are bigger stones than others. But we need to celebrate our unique abilities. We need to celebrate the uniqueness of others around us. I think you guys would agree that we all have different giftings. We all have different talents. We have different abilities. Aren't you glad that DeToy wasn't leading worship this morning? I know he's a choir boy, guys, and I think at one point we should have him lead some procession in choir, but this morning I would say I'm pleased that Nathan was leading worship and not Mark. But you see, we have different giftings, talents, and abilities, and God wants to reflect who he is through us. See, Mark's got a mic now. He wants to reflect through the things that he's created us to be. And it's like a treasure hunt, guys. We want to explore this. This should be exciting. I want to encourage you this morning that you're unique, and to go and spend time with your Creator so that you would learn how God wants to reflect himself through your uniqueness and your unique abilities, whether it be your giftings, whether it be your talents. And friends, if you feel like you don't have any this morning, I want to tell you, you're wrong. I'm sorry. You have lots of talents, lots of abilities. God is good because he created us to reflect him and his character. And his character has lots of space for you and I to reflect him in our lives. There's a scripture that a couple years back Wes has shared with us as a community and as believers. And I think for me, it's really impacted my perception of the way I see myself and others. And in church community, it says this in Ephesians 3:10, that the purpose of the church is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might be made known. And for me, it's this picture of God reflecting who he is and displaying himself through us, through the church as we come together. That word manifold is a word polypoikilos. It means the many variety, the multicolored. I love even that we have these fun little banners and then we shoot different colors on them. Friends, God is colorful. He's colorful. Just look around, hey? He's colorful. You guys are unique. You know how you know that you're unique and valued? Because not one of you is the same. Look at your hand. You've got fingerprints. The law figured this out. Not one of you has the same fingerprints, right? Not one of you can touch the world the same. You are so unique and so valued that there's not one other like you. Imagine a stone that there wasn't one like it. There was only one. Imagine the value on that. Friend, that is the value that Jesus has for you. Isn't that incredible? The last thing I want to say this morning is that our reflection of him is powerful. Friends, it's powerful. It goes on in Ephesians and it says that his incomparably great power for us who believe, he wants us to know it, to experience it, for it to be present in our lives. And it says that that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Friends, the only precursor to this power for you and I is belief. It's belief in Jesus. It's belief in a reestablishment of our relationship with our Creator. And it's a belief in your created design. Just think about how powerful light is. It doesn't matter where you go. You could go to the darkest places. But when you turn on a light, it will always overpower darkness. That is incredible. And the very thing that we're called to reflect is light. God is perfect light. And we reflect him. We're imperfect, but made perfect through Christ. We can reflect Jesus because of who he's done for us, because of what he's done for us. Isn't that incredible? We can reflect this powerful, incredible light. So what can it look like? What can be in so many facets in so many ways? And we could spend years just unpacking this. Friend, he wants to reflect his nature, his promises, who he is in things like healing, restoration for us, freedom, forgiveness. God is in every facet of your life. God wants to reflect his character, his nature, his being, and his power to bring change. The change is darkness leaving and light coming. As we reflect that powerful light, it actually brings change in other places. Isn't that incredible? You know, a magnifying glass also reflects light, and you can do things like start fires and burn ants with them. But if you think about that, friends, you and I are powerful enough that we could reflect light and impact in radical ways. You know, there's one particular facet that really feel for us as a community that we want to take time and massage into us as a church body. And one of the ways that our reflection is powerful and probably one of the most powerful. And it's in our words. It's what we say. in Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Friends, we have the power to speak life or death over ourselves and over others. We need to remember that you are a treasure, and that our friends, our family, our coworkers, the people in the grocery store, that they are also a treasure in the eyes of our God. And we need to go on those treasure hunts. We need to care enough for people that we would choose to speak life over them and call out the treasure that they are. You know, I would imagine that even like myself in my journey in life, that there's probably those of you here that haven't felt valued. Or maybe you are feeling devalued in this season. And I want to encourage you this morning that you have such significant value. And I really feel to take time this morning to actually demonstrate what this looks like and to actually show you how we have the power to speak life over you. I'm going to ask if the worship team could come up. And we're going to take some time and we're going to take communion and we're actually going to walk this out. You see, Christ died on the cross. He gave his very life to bring us back to right relationship because he valued you so significantly. He valued you as treasure. And Jesus said that every time we meet, that we're to break bread and do it in remembrance of him. And friends, it's a celebration and it's a reminder of our restored relationship to our Creator. Friends, we don't camp and stay at the cross and just look up at it. We go through the gates. In John 10, it says that he came that we would have life to its full. It says that he is the gate and we go through it. And friends, we want to go through it and walk out this life that God has for us, experiencing who we are as his created treasure, that we would reflect him and his splendor. And we're going to take up and take some time and do communion. And if I could ask some of the leaders to come forward, it would be great. Maybe a couple of you, Johan and Ronell, Mark and Felicity, and someone else. Andrew and Andrea, there we go. Yeah, so what we're going to do here is I'm going to ask that the worship team's going to play, and I'm going to ask that you guys would come up and we'll have them spread out, and we're going to take communion. But friends, we're going to make opportunity for those of you to respond. Those of you that want someone to speak life over you. Those of you this morning that want someone to declare God's promises over you. If you don't feel valued even this morning, I want you up front. And those of you leaders that have faith, that have courage, that understand the word of God and his promises and want to speak life over people, please come forward. So as those that have taken communion, if you guys would stay up front here, and those of you that have the courage and the faith to pray over them, would you come and join them? Nathan's going to sing a song over us, and you know, in this thing of relationship, the closer that we get, the more we understand our God and understand how much he loves us and delights in us. And he delights in you. And Nathan's written a song, I Delight in You. And we want him to sing it. And I just feel that even this picture, friends, look around, because as he's singing this, this is the heart of God. So come on up. Come take your communion. If you dip the bread in the juice, it's not wine. There's also some crackers over here if you can't have wheat. I'm going to pray and ask that you would just stand to your feet. We're going to worship and come and stay up front if you'd like some prayer. Lord, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for your body that was broken for us. God, thank you that you paid an ultimate price. But in doing so, you restored relationship with our Creator. Thank you that you created us so uniquely and incredibly. And God, we want to break bread and do it in honor of you, in remembrance of what you've done.
Paul spoke a little earlier on this concept of original design. Friends, that's a significant truth and promise in the kingdom. Jeremiah 1, we read this story that God said over Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Friends, I want to encourage us this morning that every single one of us in God has an original design. We've put a word to it. We call it predestination. The concept of it is that God has for us great plans and purposes. Plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future, not to harm us. And sometimes we need a bit of a recalibration, a reset button. We need to be reminded of the significance of who we are in Him, who He is in us. Paul's spoken of value this morning. And if you haven't heard it yet, He values you. You are His treasure. He delights in you. We're just singing the song that we delight in Him because He delights in us. And friends, I want to encourage you this morning just to either come forward or just to reach out to someone nearby you. If you found that, wow, I seem to have gone the 1 degree off, the 5 degrees, the 10 degrees, the 90 degrees off, I'm going in a direction, I just feel like, where am I going? What is this? God has predestined for you a plan and a purpose that is not only going to be significantly impactful for you and give you life in abundance, but it's going to be significant for your family and for your community and the nations of the world. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, I don't even know how to tap into that. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even know what it is to dream again. There's an amazing scripture, and I want to just put a bit of emphasis on a few words here. The Bible says, "Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance." Can I say it this way? I believe God is saying in this, friends, ask of me, really, anything. Even ask me for the nations as your inheritance and they're yours. Wow, that brings it to life, doesn't it? Ask me. So I want to encourage you right where you're at this morning. Let's ask of Him. This God that says He will even make the nations our inheritance. Father, thank You that the plans and the purposes that You have for us are good. Thank You for this amazing truth of original design. Thank You, Father, that even now as we come before You, You speak to us. Jeremiah says, "Ask of me and I will tell you great and unsearchable things." So friends, no matter your circumstance, no matter where you're at this morning, God has in store for you great and mighty things, great and mighty exploits, great plans and purposes. He has life and life in abundance. Jesus said, "I came that you could be free and free indeed." So let's stand together as a community. Let's honor one another. Let's love on one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's just extend our hands to dare to believe God's fullness for each other. We're going to continue to worship. Just reach out to someone nearby you, whether you need them to stand with you or whether you just want to stand with someone else. Let's do that together as a community. This is the priesthood of all believers in action right here. Thank You, Father, that before You formed us in the womb, You knew us, You called us, You set us apart, and You appointed us to what it is that You have for us, this life in abundance. And we receive and we ask of You, speak to us now, Father. Let's worship our King, friends.